Hello, my name's Eric Flo. I am a software engineer on the Surface Hub team, and I have worked for Microsoft for over 25 years on operating systems, and in my opinion, this is the coolest project I've ever worked on. This is the Surface Hub. This presentation today is going to be all about writing applications to run on the Surface Hub. Little housekeeping first. We really appreciate your guys' feedback. So I'll show this slide again at the very end, but if you could scan the QR code and send us feedback, we would really appreciate it. So what are we going to talk about today? I'm going to give you a brief overview of the Surface Hub, and then I'm going to invite Roberto to come up and show you how to build some apps for it, and then he's going to take it to the next level. He's going to show you how to tailor your app so it's optimized to run on the Surface Hub. We should have time for Q&A at the end, so if you guys could hold your questions at the end, we would really appreciate it. When Bill Gates founded Microsoft, he had a vision. His vision was a PC on every desk and in every home running Microsoft software. That vision empowered individuals, but it did very little for groups. The Surface Hub is here to fill that space. The Surface Hub is all about empowering groups. It will be as transformative to the space as the PC was to the individual and to the desk. As I mentioned, the Surface Hub is all about empowering groups. It can be used in a lot of different places. For example, you could put it in a conference room. You could put it in a boardroom. You could put it in a small meeting space. The goal of this device is to bring together people that are both local and remote so they can collaborate, so they can brainstorm, so they can run apps that you guys are going to write, so they can be more productive. The Surface Hub is an integrated computing device. It has everything that you need for a standard conference room built into it. Across the top of it is a mic array. It's got dual 1080p cameras in it. It's got sensors for light and for motion. It has Wi-Fi support, Bluetooth support in it. It has dual pins and dual charging stations on it, built-in speakers. It also has support for NFC. The screen, LCD, with an anti-glare coating on it. It supports both pen input and touch input. This particular one that you're looking at here is the 84-inch model, runs with a 4K resolution on it. We also have a 55-inch version, runs at 1080p. Both of them are on display over in the corner in the solution showcase. This integrated device has everything that you need for a typical conference room. All you need to do is roll it in there and supply one cord, power to it. It has everything else that you need. So because it's such a large screen, and it's communal, and it's collaborative, it actually can be used in unique ways. This is not your typical PC that you just go and log on to. It can be used, like in some of the pictures that you see here, for example, in the lower right, it could be used in a media scenario. It could be used in a conference room, absolutely. It could be used on a factory floor. So there's unique opportunities for you guys to write apps that leverage this device. So imagine that you're writing an app that presents like pages of information, a story, or their reports, okay? Because you have so much real estate to work with, when you present this information to the users, you can do it in a way that makes sense for them to collaborate. You could have all the pages stacked up, and then the user could flip through them. Or they could take the pages and they could fan them out across the large screen. Or maybe they zoom in or they zoom out, right? It gives them the ability to customize the information to the way that makes sense for them to work together. So another area is remote collaboration. This device is wonderful for remote collaboration. And you know why? Because I personally work remotely 3 days a week with my team in Microsoft. And I actually call in and I have meetings on this device. It is amazing. The audio is great. The video is great. Also, if you go to the solution showcase over here on the second floor, we have two of these set up. There's a couple of ISVs that are showing their remote collaboration applications over there. They're great examples. Please, if you get some time, go see them, okay? The Surface Hub, though, is also more than bringing people together. It can bring people and their devices together. Multiple devices can hook up to it. It allows for better information sharing. Let's talk about market size for a little bit. Worldwide, 50 million meeting spaces, of which about 20 million of them are the typical large conference room. But the fastest growing segment is the small space. Some people call it a huddle space. Some people call it an open space. 30 million and growing. Corporations are spending a lot of money on these meeting spaces. So for a conference room, some of them are spending up to $50,000 to buy all the peripherals that they need to outfit this conference room to work for their situation. And for the small ones, they're spending up to $10,000 to buy peripherals for it. So guys, there's an opportunity here for you guys to make money, okay? Now, I would like to do a brief demo of the Surface Hub, and I'm going to ask Roberto to come up here and help. We're going to pretend to be a software development house, okay? And we're going to make an app, and we're going to make an app that you can review chairs. You can flip through pictures of chairs, and you can review them and give your opinions on them. Now, we're not having a scheduled meeting. We're going to have an ad hoc meeting, okay? So when you saw the welcome screen, the screen that was just up here, it offers three big buttons on it. These are the primary tasks, right? These are the most common things when you have a meeting. It's like you want to call somebody, or you want to use the whiteboard, or you want to connect to it with your phone or your laptop. It offered a shortcut to the start menu so that you guys, when you write apps, they can get to your apps easily. Now, in this particular example, okay, you saw that when I lifted the pen, the device is smart enough to know, hey, that I want a whiteboard. So it automatically started the whiteboard. So now Roberto and I, we're going to draw out a couple of pages of our app, okay? So if I take the first page, would you be willing to draw the second page of our app?
Sure.
So let's go. I'm going to draw in black. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
Yeah. This is okay. Non-RTM software. So let's try it again. Let's close OneNote here. And once again, we're very excited to be able to bring this straight from like where it's made and bring it here to you guys. Okay, there it goes. So here I have my note, and we're drawing here our pages off our app, have some menus, and well, that's a pretty chair.
So Roberto, you know, you and I being devs, we're probably not the best designers, right? My little stick man probably is not going to enjoy my chair here. But the Surface Hub gives us the ability to bring in content from other things. One of the things that we could do is we could loop in James. He's a great designer, okay? So if we wanted to loop him in, we could push the Skype for Business button. We could punch in James's number, and he would show up here as a remote attendee, and then we could share this with him, and he could give us feedback, all right? But there's other ways that we can get feedback here. So another example, maybe Roberto had a phone, right? And he happened to have some great pictures of chairs on it.
Yeah.
He could wirelessly project, and then he could put pictures up here. We could then capture them from his device and paste them right here into OneNote.
And besides, of course, third-party apps, like the ones you're going to build. So this is the start menu, and you can bring content from other apps into your collaboration or your meeting, or even just use the app by itself.
That's right. So we have many ways to gather information into this OneNote, share, we can annotate on it. The best part is, and I bet you a whole bunch of you have done this, okay? How many of you have gone to the whiteboard and you've drawn all over it and you get your cell phone out and you take a picture of it, right? And then you email it to yourself. All right, so it worked, okay? But you didn't ever go back and edit that picture again, did you? This solves the problem, okay? Right down here, little email icon. You can save this entire canvas into a OneNote file and then have it emailed to everybody that you're working with. So then you can continue on with your project after you have left this meeting.
Yeah, you can drop it on your own OneNote, organize the notes together with your team notes and so on.
So then let's pretend that we're all done, okay? what we would normally do is say, hey, I'm all done, we're going to walk away. So you would push the button here. Now, since Roberto's going to use the device, I'm not actually going to end it, okay? But if I were to push the yes button, it will reset the device. It will return back to the big blue welcome screen that you saw, and it's ready for the next meeting, okay?
Yeah.
So at this point, I'm going to ask Roberto to take over, and he's going to talk about building some applications. Roberto, this is for you, sir.
Oh, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move over to the PowerPoint a little bit, and I'll talk a little bit about developing for the Surface Hub. And let me present myself. I'm Roberto. I'm also a software engineer in the Surface Hub team, and it's really exciting to be here and show this beautiful device. It's really our, we're very proud to be able to display it and have you play it at the showcase too. So let's talk a little bit about developing for Surface Hub. And here you can see this beautiful 3D map app. So this is like just to give you a little bit of a glimpse of what can you do with such a big screen. And we noticed that people on the showcase love finding their home in the 3D map. I don't know why, but it's something cool to do. It's just a beautiful screen. And you have to think differently when you develop apps for it. But actually, developing apps, it's not hard at all. It's very easy. So let's talk a little bit about that. Building apps for Surface Hub. So Surface Hub is a member of the Windows 10 device family. We have devices all the way from the smallest Internet of Things device, embedded device, all the way to our giant screens passing through Xbox, HoloLens. All of those run universal Windows apps. And you heard about them about 1,000 times in this conference, and I'll say a few more. Surface Hub runs the universal Windows apps. And that's the main thing you have to remember. You make your app run on all devices. If you think about screen sizes, you will scale up to the Surface Hub. But also, you can tweak it. You can make it a little bit better. You can use some of the unique capabilities of this device to improve your app even more, even though it's to a universal Windows app. So let's talk a little bit about the device families. So you know that Windows categorize their devices into families. So you have, for example, the mobile family includes the small tablets and the phones. And then you have the desktop family, Xbox, HoloLens, and so on. And the Surface Hub, it's running Windows 10, but it's part of the Windows Team device family. We're called the Windows Team family. Why? You need to know that. You need to know that if you want to code, make some customization off of your app that is specific for the Surface Hub. Because if you just use screen size, you wouldn't be able to differentiate between any 4K desktop and the Surface Hub. The resolution is the same. You wouldn't be able for the 55-inch, you wouldn't be able to differentiate between a 1080p phone and the 1080p Surface Hub, because they're both 1080p. So resolution is not enough to know where you're running. Resolution and scaling, it's not enough. So you need to know you're part of the Windows Team device family. I'll show you how to customize for that device family in a sec. So let's talk about apps, building apps. It's easy. It will take all your skills from universal app development, because Surface Hub runs the universal apps. They scale automatically. If you think about large screens, this is a large screen, it will work. If you think about 4K or 1080p, if you think about how your controls should be placed, it will work very well. Also, if you don't have a Surface Hub and you want to see what it would look like to design an app, especially in XAML, Visual Studio 2015 has a preview on the XAML designer that is the Surface Hub 84-inch. So together with phones and tablets, you can switch the XAML designer to show the Surface Hub 84-inch. Also remember the resolution. That's the key to remember for screen size. This one is 4K, running at 150%, and the 55-inch is 1080p, running at 100% scaling. So 150%, 100% scaling, 1080p, 4K. It's not that complicated to remember. And also, all this information, it's on the documentation, too. Of course, you can create a neutral x86 or x64 package. We don't support ARM, because all our processors are x64. And store submission, you have to think about two things. Remember two key points when you submit to the store. First, make sure Windows Team or Windows Universal are included in your platforms, because you can submit apps that go only to phone or only to desktop. If you want to have it on the Surface Hubs, it's Windows Team. And second one is the seat licensing. The idea is, because this device is going to be for enterprises, we expect that IT pros and admins will go and buy apps in the business store, or just download apps in the business store, and then deploy across the company. So if you want to be part of that, you want to deploy to the business store, you need to opt into seat licensing so that the admins can do that. So that's great. Let's move on now to design, and let's get our hands a little bit more dirty with designing and thinking about an app for the Surface Hub. What do you have to think about as you're developing your app? So first thing you have to think about when you are tailoring, once again, your app just runs, but you can do things to improve. There's a lot of design tips I'm going to give here. First one is the session, concept of a session. So like here, we were in the welcome screen, and then we entered the session, and then we did stuff, and then we finished the session, and everything was gone. This is what's going to happen every time a user enters a conference room and tries to do something with the Surface Hub. So they will do, they'll be productive, they'll get stuff done, and as they are finishing, we're going to erase all their content. Why do we do that? Because the next people are going to come into the conference room, and we don't want them to see that content. So it's very much about trust. We want people to go to conference rooms and get out and trust that their data is safe. So you need to, as a developer, make sure to not save anything on the device because it will be erased. Optimize for pen and touch. That's key. When you're talking about a device this big, it's so visual, it's so tactile, you really want to be on the screen. You don't want to be using a mouse or a keyboard for sure. And you want to make sure that you use all the capabilities that our sensors give. You can use multiple touches and pen at the same time, which is something very unique. And you can also differentiate between pen and touch. You can make sure that touch will pen the content while pen will write on the content. So you want to make sure to use those two to your advantage. And of course, the size of the UI is important. If you are making a presentation app, you want to make sure things are full screen and use all the resolution because we want everyone in the room to see. But at the same time, if you're close to the screen, if things are too big, I can't even see the whole screen when I'm like, just to give an example, and I'm right here. I can't even see the whole screen. I only see like an area in the middle. So you can use that also to your advantage. You can put the important things in the center and put secondary controls on the sides. So interesting things that you can think about when you right-size the UI. But I'm going to go into each of those points in more detail now. So let's talk about cleanup. Why am I talking so much about cleanup? Because this is very unique to the Surface Hub. Not many devices have this concept of cleaning up and resetting everything when you are done with your app. The Surface Hub does, because it's a communal device. It's a device that will be just hanging out there in a huddle space or in a conference room. People will go use it and get out. That's how it's going to operate during the day. And because of that, at the end of every session, we want to be sure to not leave anything. So we're going to erase all application data, documents, pictures, media, temporary files, app settings, everything. And the key for you developers, app settings, app data, gone. So you don't want to save anything locally. You want to make sure that all your data is saved either on the cloud or on a personal device like a phone or a tablet that is connected to the screen. And remember, we have so many sensors, you can actually use that to your advantage. You can use NFC and tap the phone to download your content, or you can use the phone to log in. You can do so many cool things so that the user can start fresh and make sure that the data goes with them instead of being deleted. So for the most common one, which is the whiteboard, we had a solution that was sending the notes by email. But you could imagine, for example, pairing with a phone and doing a lot of cool things like that that are unique to this big form factor. It's a device that invites you to come and pair and connect. Also, think about first run experiences. You're probably, everyone has seen apps that when you get in the app, it says, welcome to the app. Let's take a tour. Let's do a tutorial and point arrows to things saying, this is how you do things. So this is cool. It's very useful for mobile apps. But it's in the Surface Hub, because your app doesn't know if it's the first run or second run or third run, because you don't have local data, you need to be aware that that first run experience will run every time. So be aware of that and consider reducing your first run experience or even removing completely. Because on the first time, it will be great, and on the third time, it will be really annoying. And after the fifth time, they might really avoid your app. So you don't want to be putting those little tutorials every single time. So let's talk about design and scaling, and how close you are to the device. So during our user research, we found it very useful to divide the interaction into two zones of engagement. So we call it zone one and zone two. Zone one is when you're close to the device. It's about up to one arm's length of the device. A person that's in zone one is really touching the device. It's writing on the device. It's really close to the device. Sometimes they are not. Sometimes they're just like discussing with someone else, but they are that close. And at that zone, you have to be aware that they don't see the whole screen. They probably have a limited awareness, a cone of awareness in front of them. That's the area that they can see. And in zone two, it's when you are further away from the device. Then they could be watching a presentation. They could be just hanging around the device and talking about some content. They could have other devices in their hands, maybe a phone, maybe a tablet. So you want to make sure you adapt to that. They might be seated in a conference room. So you want to make sure that when you're tailoring for zone two, you want to make sure that everything is big and readable and visible. So, for example, this map is great on zone two because you guys can see the map. It's very visual. But at the same time, I have a little bit of zone one controls here, the smaller menus, which are for me, the presenter. So you can mix and match them as your scenario goes. So with those zones in mind, oh, also let me tell you about the size of the zone, of course. So zone two goes more or less up to 4 meters with a 55-inch device and up to 6 meters with an 84-inch device. So of course, bigger device will give you a bigger zone two, a bigger engagement zone. Even though here in this conference room, I believe people all the way in the back, which would be outside of zone two, they can still see and be part of this presentation. So you can adapt that to your scenario. But knowing those zone two, in zone one, zone two, this concepts of engagement zones, there's a lot of things you can do to improve your apps, to tweak your apps. So let's talk about positioning. Think about the user's context and posture. If they're sitting down, if they're standing up, if they have another device, if where are the user in the relationship with the space and the device? Make controls reachable, and that might sound redundant, but you need to make sure people can actually touch your controls. Here, the controls that are on the top are hard to reach unless you are as tall as Eric. They are hard to reach if they are on the top. So you need to be aware that some people have accessibility requirements. They might have a wheelchair or might have difficulties moving their arms. You need to make sure that the main controls should be on the bottom. And you should think about which controls do you put in the center and on the sides. I give the example here of the shell, of the Surface Hub shell. So here we have the Skype buttons on the right side and on the left side. Why do we do that on both sides? Because they are secondary controls. They're not like here in the middle. But also, I don't want people to go and walk all the way across to start a meeting. I want them to be able to do it from either side. I don't want them to also, as a presenter, have to cover the contents to start a meeting. So you think about that, like think about occlusion, and think about how do you use the sides of the device. Because we have all this space, we can't afford to have the controls always there. So also think about the brightness and proximity to the screen. So when you make your app very bright, like white, it will be uncomfortable after a while for the user to be close to the screen, especially in zone one. At the same time, in zone two, a white image might pop out better, and they might be able to read it better. So consider how you're going to apply brightness and change that in relationship to the proximity. And of course, scale contents and controls appropriately. So this control is about the size of my finger, and that's great. But if I took a phone app, imagine I took a phone app where the control is the size of my finger, and I just proportionally scaled up, and then the control now is about the size of my hand. So you got to be careful when you do scaling. Be smart about it. Think about where the controls are on the screen. Sometimes the control that here it's here on the bottom, it's not exactly comfortable to be hitting all the time. So these controls, you don't hit them all the time, it's fine. But you probably want to optimize to the zone that's going to be most comfortable. So now let's go and move on to actual the code part, which is my favorite part. You know, English is not my first language, as you can notice. But actually, code is my first language. I imagine you all speak code with me. Let's go and speak a little bit of XAML and C#. So why did I choose XAML and C#? I believe most of you are familiar with it. Those are the technologies that we have been demoing all over. And it's really easy to read and understand. You can use other universal app languages like C++, like Visual Basic. And from yesterday, now we know that Java and Objective-C and everything is coming together. It's really awesome. I'm excited to be at Microsoft right now. But let's talk a little bit about this app. So here, I'm going to play the part of a software developer on a design firm. So my design firm has an app that allows people on their phones to review the designs that we're sending to them. So the client can receive their designs and say, I like or I don't like the app. I don't like the design. So let's take a look at that. I'm going to move on to my display, Visual Studio, your favorite friend. So here, let me just show you this app that we have running on a phone form factor, or a small tablet form factor. So here, this is a universal app that we developed before, and this app is for clients to go and say if they like or if they don't like their design. So on the go, the client can go and quickly swipe and say, well, you know, I really like this sofa. I like this. And you can say, I like this, and you can go and say, oh, I don't, this one I do. It's very fast, very optimized for that on the go. If you recognize the furniture, we actually took the pictures here in the conference, so it's a client that's very interesting in conference furniture. They're probably trying to make a conference as cool as built. So here I'm going to open the menu, and it's a global navigation menu. So it's an app that it's working very well. It's very tailored for mobile. It uses the patterns that mobile users expect. It has this bright blue color. It pops out well on the phone. I can recognize it quickly. So it works great. I can type the comment with the virtual keyboard. And my clients love it. They take the app. They walk around. They can swipe and very quickly be done with it. But now my firm got this amazing device. It got this giant touchscreen on their conference rooms. And now they asked me, well, why don't we try putting that app on the Surface Hub? And I said, that's cool, because now we can invite the clients over, and they can discuss with us. They can discuss on the conference room instead of doing that just on the go. And I said, sure, let's try that out. So I'm going to just run this app on the Surface Hub, and let's see what it looks like. So I'm going to change here to the remote machine. We're using the regular remote debugger, no magic here. You guys know it very well. Let's see if the remote is up.
Let me check real quick.
I think it is. I got the deployment. Oh, no, the remote operation is taking longer. So the remote debugger has some flakiness with the network. Let's just open it again. OK, there it is. Let me retry. So I'm just going to deploy to the remote debugger. Let's try that again. There it is. So this is the same app. It's a universal Windows app. So no magic here. We can deploy the app, and it will show up on every device. But you can see that, like, I really tailored that app for phones and small screens. I didn't make a layout for large screens. So this is a little bit of an exaggerated example. If I had like a desktop layout, it would definitely look better. It wouldn't look so much like the phone stretched up. You could definitely go and think about the screen size. But here, I just had my phone app, and I want to run that universal app here. And it runs. I can do all the same tests. I can swipe up. I can come here and type using the virtual keyboard. But you can see the virtual keyboard is a little bit less comfortable to type on this vertical surface. So you have to, we have to improve that. Also, you can see that the app, it works OK, but the picture is a little bit large. Because remember, my cone of awareness is about here. So I can see this, but I can't really see the whole picture when I'm at zone one interacting with the device. So I need to make the picture be a little bit smaller, more centered. Also, the background, as I said, it pops very much on the phone. It's cool. I like the bright blue color. But here, I want to use something a little bit more muted, because it's too bright. It distracts a little bit from the main content. And finally, the menu. The menu works, and I can still open it up. But this menu is not using the real estate that I have available. Why do I have to click the button and hide the menu every time? So we could improve this a lot more by having the menu be always open. So let's go and make those tweaks. And I'm going to show you how to make those tweaks specifically for the Surface Hub. And again, I'm not going to make tweaks based on the screen size. There's a lot of things you can do based on the screen size. But here, I'm going to make it based on the Surface Hub itself, which is a very unique device. So let's go over to Visual Studio back again. So here, you guys can see my code still. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create a new set of visual states to change between Surface Hub and other devices. So if you don't know visual states in XAML, visual states is how you change your layout based on some property or some state of your app. So you can create visual states for sizes, for different screen sizes. You can create visual states for, I don't know, if you have an error, you can create a visual state for the errors. So there's a lot of things you can do with visual states. But here, we're going to really create a visual state for the Surface Hub so that I can make tweaks and change properties when I'm running on that device. So let me show you how I'm going to do that. So let's open here our main page. This is just a regular XAML page, and here I have my split view. It's the root of my page. And I'm going to add a visual state group the same way I would for anything else. So here I have two visual states, default and Windows team. So I'm going to create a visual state for the Windows team family. Now, the first thing is, how do I tweak the design for that state? After I have the state up, what I like to do is go to Blend. And Blend is really my favorite tool for this. I really love it, and I've been using it since it was called Acrylic, Expression Interactive Design. It was a very cool, it's been a very cool tool, and it's like just amazing. I love the features that we have here for designing. So here I have on Blend, I'm running the designer, and I can see my 5-inch phone, and you can see what it looks like when I'm designing for the phone. But as I said, Blend, as well as Visual Studio, have 84-inch Surface Hub as an option here. So without having the Surface Hub, you can have an idea of what the layout will look like. And you can compare with the real one. You can see it's very similar to the real one on the device. So I'm going to leave this one at the Surface Hub. And now I'm going to use the visual states that I created to change my design for Windows Team. So how do we do that? You click the state here. So usually you're going to be in the Solution Explorer tab. You just click the States tab. And then I have my two visual states, default and Windows Team. When you click it, you can see here Windows Team state recording is on. And then I'm going to go over and I'm going to change some stuff here on my app. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take the menu and I'm going to make sure it's always open. So let's take the menu here. I love this property filter. It's my favorite feature on the properties designer in Blend. So I'm going to come here and type is pane open, true, and change the display mode to inline. So that will make the menu be always open. So let's see what it looks like. So no menu, yes menu. Great. Let's keep tweaking then. So now that I have my menu here, I don't need my button anymore. I don't need this button to be visible because the menu is always there. So let's just collapse this button. Visibility, collapse, and it's gone. Now let's talk about the main content. The main content, I said the background is a little bit too bright. I'm going to make it a little bit more discreet. And the way I'm going to do that is I click the main content here. And I'm going to change the background to menu background brush. So I like it. It looks cool. It looks flush with the menu. It's a little bit darker, more focused on the main content on the center. Also, you can see that when I open the menu, everything got a little bit nudged to the right. So I'm going to nudge everything back. How I'm going to do that? I'm going to take the menu. There's several ways to do it. I'm going to do a very quick one. I'm going to put a margin on my main content of -320. It pops back. That's great. Now, let's talk about the picture itself, the flip view. So the flip view is where I can go and flip and type the text with the comments, right? I'm going to go over, and I said it was a little bit too wide. Like here, it's nice for a presentation. I like it for presentation. But for collaboration and productivity, it's not great. Remember, this is not an app for me to show you the designs. A good app for that would be PowerPoint, for example. This is a good app for me to go and discuss the designs and comment on the designs. And for that, I need to be able to see the whole thing when I'm actually right here in the middle of the screen. So I'm going to make the image smaller so that I can appreciate the whole design. So I'm going to do that by taking that picture and changing the max width. There's, again, thousands of ways you could think about going that. There are lots of talks here at Build that talk about that specifically, talk about tailoring your app for different screen sizes. But I'm just going to use a simple method here. I'm going to put a max width, and I'm going to put a margin on each side so that the flip view doesn't interfere with the menu on the left. So I'm just going to put a 320 margin on each side. There we go. Now we got the picture is going to be centered, and it's going to be not full screen. Hope you guys can see over there the designer. This is what I got. So I'm going to save this. And let's just run this on the device and see what it looks like. Oh, of course, I'm forgetting something very important. I didn't make the state change with when I am in that device. I just created the two states, but I didn't change to the Windows Team state. So how do I do that? Actually, I could even go and run just to show that it won't change anything just by having that two state there. So while it's building, I'm going to talk about, so you're going to see it's exactly the same. Even though I made those tweaks, I didn't change to that visual state. The question here is, how do you change to a different visual state when you are in a different device. And that's the key to the whole thing. So there is a concept we introduced in Windows 10 that's called state triggers. And there's one state trigger that comes with the SDK, which is really cool. It's called the adaptive state trigger. And with that trigger, you can take a set of visual states and change them when width or height change on your window. So you can go and say, if the width is higher than, if the width is bigger than 1,000 pixels, then change the state, for example. And that's a very common technique. Web developers have been doing that for ages. And it's great that we introduced that into the SDK. But the interesting thing here is that we don't want to trigger on the width or height or size. We want to trigger on the particular device family, which is the Windows Team family. Once again, we don't want to confuse a 4K screen with a 4K desktop monitor. We really don't want to do that. We want it optimized for this. So how do you do that? You can create your own state triggers. And that's what I did. So here I have my own device family state trigger. And I just wanted to show you how simple the code is. It's really like there's two lines of actual code. So to create a state trigger, you just derive from state trigger base. So here you can see I'm implementing the methods from state trigger base. And state trigger base is it only has one important method, which is setActive. So the idea is when you create a trigger, you can call setActive with true or false. If you call it true, that means this trigger should be activated and the state should be activated. If it's false, it means that trigger is not active. So you can create state triggers to change between states. And that's really, really easy. So this state trigger, it's pretty simple. It has one property called device family. And it will set it to active when the device family is equal to the device family of the device I'm running now. So this class analytics info is part of Windows System Profile. Once again, everything is documented. You can get the version info.device family. And you can compare that with the device family that I created when I instantiated this trigger. So how do I use it? Let's go to the main page, and let's add a state trigger here to my Windows Team state. So visual state dot, let me make it even bigger for you guys on the back. Visual state dot state triggers. And then I'm going to go in here and say, so you see adaptive trigger comes in box. The adaptive trigger is the one about size. But I'm going to use my own. That's the local device family state trigger. And I'm going to say the device family is windows.team. As I said, that's the thing to remember when you're talking about device family. So with this trigger, I'm sure now that when we run on the Windows Team device, it will look different. And that's all I had to do. It will go and apply all those changes that I made. Let's see if that's true. Seeing is believing. I only believe my code when it's running under the debugger. There you go. So with the tweaks that we made, the menu is always open. The picture is in the center. Now I can finally see the whole thing. It's great. I love those cubes that are in the theater over there. And now I can go and say, well, I like this. I don't like this. I can swipe through. The menu is always visible, which means I'm using a little bit more of the real estate. And you could go further. You could put the menu on both sides. You could make the menu lower. You could put menu in the center. You could go crazy with this. I did, like, in just about 10 minutes, I did tweaks that improved my experience quite a lot. But I'm going to do one last tweak, which is the text box. This is really my biggest gripe with anything on the Surface Hub that goes from a small form factor to a large. So here I have a text box, and typing here, it's uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable. I can start typing here, and it works, and it even has the auto-completion. But it's really not the best form factor for typing. You can use an external keyboard as well, but you can get this so much better if you just use the pen. So what I'm going to make a change now is I'm going to remove the text box, and I'm going to add pen support. And I'm going to keep the pen and touch differentiated so that I can write with the pen and swipe through the pictures with touch. I'm going to show that how to do that. Let's go back to our code once again. So in order to do that, what you have to do is you need to change the data template of that flip view, because that flip view will be flipping through, and each template has an image and a text box. Let me show you what it looks like now. So I got my flip view here. Let me zoom out so you can see the whole thing. So this is the flip view. And the data template, as I said, has an image and a text box. And what I need to do is I need to create a new data template, and I need to switch to that data template when I am on a Windows Team device. So how do you do that? So I have created a different data template up here in my resources. So over here it is. It's even simpler than the one that I had with the text box. So I have a different data template that has an image with an ink canvas on top. And I'm going to zoom in very much so you can all see. Ink canvas is the word to remember. Ink canvas is the key to unlocking pen support. Just by adding an ink canvas element, you can make any control inkable with the full support from Windows 10, from Direct Ink. All those cool things that you learn about ink is just you put an ink canvas control there. And the cool thing is that ink canvas, by default, only supports pen. It doesn't support touch. You can go and change the properties to make it support painting with the touch or painting with the mouse. But by default, it only supports pen, which is what we want, because we want pen to ink and touch to swipe. So let's see what that looks like. So I'm going to go and apply that data template, which, again, is the same picture view model. It's the same data. It's the same view model that is feeding this view. I'm going to go over to Blend. I'm going to choose, once again, my Windows team state. And then I'm going to go to the flip view and say, when you are in this state, make sure to change your item template here, item template, to be the ink template that I created. And then if I just save this and go back to VS and deploy, so it's going to build. And you're going to see that with just that change of data template, the text box gone. And now I can take my pen, and once again, swipe still works. I can take my pen and write on the screen. And also, I can continue swiping and writing independently. I can use the power of pen and touch separately. I think this pen battery is out, maybe. I'm going to try the other one. So there you go. And this is not any ink canvas. It's a step up from anything we had before. If you go to the Direct Ink talk, they're going to talk all about how this is the best ink canvas Microsoft has ever shipped. Because it has, by default, pressure-sensitive pen, and it has, you can look like how the ink follows my pen very closely. So it has super low latency, by default, out of the box, in Xaml. So if you go to their talk, the Direct Ink talk, they will tell all about how this is the best ink experience we ever shipped out of the box with one line of Xaml. And that's great. And let's say now that I put this app on our conference rooms, and people like it. People can come, and they can ink, and they can use the menus. They can swipe and evaluate and say, oh, I like this picture. That's great. But the thing is, we realize that when we put this on a conference room, what people really want to do is they don't want to just play by themselves. They want to collaborate. They want to bring in more people. They want to discuss the picture. And this is a good app for one person. It does the same thing as the phone. But if we want to bring more people, how can we improve the app even more? How can we think about collaboration? How can we optimize from the ground up for the Surface Hub? And that's what I just did. I created a different view for this app, and I'm going to show you how to switch the views. I'm creating a different view instead of just tweaking the user interface elements with visual states. I created a whole new view from scratch. And that new view is being reimagined for the conference room, for the Surface Hub, for collaborating. And I'm going to show you what that looks like right now. It took me about a day's work, to go from that to the other one I'm going to show, so that you know that it's also not magic. It's not crazy complicated, because the data is the same, the code behind is the same. I'm just creating a new view. So here, I'm going to go back to my app XAML CS, and let me show you on Solution Explorer first. So you have the main page is the page we were working on. And I created before another page called the Surface Hub page. And I want to make sure that when I am on the Windows Team device, you should go to the Surface Hub page. So how does that look like? There are several ways of doing that. Once again, I'm just choosing one that's very simple, which is I can use rootframe.navigate on app XAML on the onLaunched method. So here we are onLaunched. We can navigate to a different page according to the device type, to device family, sorry. So here this is the one that comes out of the box with the template. I'm going to comment it out. And I'm going to use the one that will do a slightly different thing, which is when my device family is the Windows team, go to the Surface Hub page. Otherwise, go to the main page. So very simple. I just changed the whole page out of that. And now let's take a look and see what this will look like. So let me run this one. And it's going to deploy. And this is how I reimagined this app for the conference room. And let me show you a little bit of a few of the features that I was thinking about when I was developing this one. with the help and the feedback of our team back in Redmond. So this is a screen that it's a lot more optimized for the conference room and for the Surface Hub form factor because it now uses the whole area of the device. I put the menu on the top because it's not very important for me. I made it horizontal and it's more symmetrical. The like and dislike buttons are bigger and I have space now to include the text, but they still work just the same. And also now, you can see I have this 3D carousel where I can swipe through the pictures instead of the flip view. Because now I'm not constrained by the space on the phone, and I'm also not constrained by the battery and memory performance of the phone. So now I have a better graphics card. I can abuse the 3D effects a little bit. And also, I can make sure to give a little bit of context, because I have that space. I can give a little bit of context to the user. This is what came. This is what's coming next. And I can use that just because I have this large screen. Of course, I'm still optimizing for the cone of awareness. I'm in the middle. But I'm adding this background. And you can see the background crossfades when I swipe. Actually, let me put the camera so you guys can see better. So you can see the background, it crossfades when I swipe between the pictures. And then, even though my awareness is in the middle, I'm still immersed in that design. So you can make like the design to be immersive, inclusive, put the user in the context. And of course, pen works. Let me go here. And Eric, would you mind let me know, what do you think of this chair?
Well, you know, I like this chair. I really like this part right here.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting part. So Eric likes the chair. But the thing is, I don't think it goes very well with our living room, you know? I think the color is not great. So I can go here and say, I don't like it. And as you notice, the application seamlessly transitioned from a one-person usage to a two-person usage. You can see the menu went to the center, and I got the buttons like and dislike came. And I say, I don't like it. And now we have our own collections. And now we can have a much richer record of what happened in that discussion. And I can say, you know, tell me about this one. What do you think?
This chair, I really like the leather on it. But the shiny steel, I didn't really like that one.
Yeah, I think it doesn't match the table very well. I don't like it either. And we can keep going and have a good record of that discussion. Again, each one of us has pressure-sensitive pen and pen identification. So each pen has a different color and is associated with a different user. The coolest thing you can do is imagine what you're going to do when you can take this wireless ID, this pen ID, and associate with something like a credential or a token. And then you can know that actually green was Roberto and blue was Eric. And imagine that for review, for collaboration, for brainstorming. So who actually wrote this? Do you remember that? And this is super easy with the Surface Hub. This scenario is like unleashed with the Surface Hub. And I'm not going to go over the XAML design because this XAML is not magic. I will point over to like some open source controls, like this carousel is an open source control. I'll tell you how to get there. It's really not magic. But the cool thing that I want to show in terms of code is how do you do pen ID? How do you identify which pen is which? And that's the last thing I want to demo. So can you move on to the code machine, please?
Absolutely.
There we go. So that's the last thing I would like to show is how do I do the pen ID? And this is the Surface Hub page XAML.cs. And here I have the method that does the pen identification. It's really five lines of code, super simple to do. So one cool thing about the Surface Hub is that each pen has a unique wireless ID. And that unique wireless ID will be unique for the lifetime of your session. You know that that pen, for all the apps that you're going to use, is going to be the same. So all you have to do is take the pointer point properties, and you can get one of those every time you click a pen or every time you click a touch or mouse. This is the property you can get out of the event args. So you can get a pointer point and can get the properties. And from the pointer point properties, you can go and query for the wireless ID usage and the wireless ID page. So those magic constants you need to know, they're going to be documented. And you can find that this code is on the slides. You can download the slides in the website, the build website. And it has that piece of code. And of course, I need to make sure that I return a nullable int, because if it doesn't have an ID, I have to return null, because 0 is a valid ID. 0 could be a valid ID, or -1. We don't know which ID is going to come out of the pen, so we need to return something else when it does not have an ID. For example, a touch doesn't have an ID, a mouse doesn't have an ID, but a pen does. A pen on Surface Hub does. So this is how you go and identify, and then you can take that ID and associate with a token, a credential, and go crazy. So that was it for the demo. I'm going to move back to the PowerPoint and finish up the talk. Calm down. Just a little bit further. I'm just going to wrap up before we go close. So let's talk about the open source components. I just want to shout out, they both work at Microsoft, those people, Sébastien Pertu and Philippe Skakken. They created the carousel and the WinRT XAML toolkit. I used that only on this third demo to do the cross-fading. The WinRT toolkit, I used it to do the cross-fading. So you can go and get them open source. They both work at Microsoft, and those projects are really cool. They have other versions. You can get that on the slide on the website as well. And finally, in summary, Surface Hub runs universal Windows apps. And universal Windows apps are amazing. They run from your HoloLens to your Xbox. Surface Hub is not out of that. It's exactly the same. It's part of the Windows Steam device family, and that's the key word when you want to tailor for the Surface Hub as opposed to just any large screen. Plan for session cleanup. Session cleanup is very important. It's going to happen whether you want it or not, and you need to make sure your data is safe. You need to make sure your data is stored on the cloud or a personal device. And again, use the sensors to your advantage. You can go and tap a phone and download the data. You can be sure that's going to keep the data safe. Optimize for pen, touch, and screen size. Once again, giant screen, which means lots of opportunities to interact with it. Think about how you do pen and touch, differentiate between them, like pen for writing, touch for swiping, touch for interacting with the buttons. This is how people have been doing it since like ancient times, like since writing was invented. So you should take advantage of that. Think about collaboration scenarios. So here I took an application that was for an individual on the phone, and I took it up to the large screen, and I made it collaborative. And you can see the big difference between an application for one person and for two people. And of course, you can think of applications for multiple people, for remote people. What if I had two Surface Hubs, one here and one in China, and the Surface Hub in China has more people writing on this, and they have different pen colors, and they can say they like and dislike together? Because Surface Hub does that across remote as well. So think about the collaboration scenarios. Think about me and Eric discussing this as if we were in the same room, but we could be in a separate size of the world. So it's really about optimizing for the groups, for collaboration. So let's talk a little bit about related sessions. This session was very introductory in the sense that we showed you the Surface Hub and showed you how to tailor your apps. But if you want to go deeper on the Ink, you should take a look at the two sessions from the Direct Ink team, the introductory one and the advanced one. They talk about multiple inks at the same time. They talk about ink recognition. They talk about advanced processing. And they will just show you how amazing this ink canvas is. And also from the small screen to the big screen, this is a talk that goes and talks about design based on screen size. How do you do the adaptive design? And of course, they are going to talk a little bit about design device families, but you can take those learnings from large screen to small screen and apply it here too. So thank you very much for coming, and we'd like to open for Q&A. Of course, if you want to try out the device, we invite you to come over to the showcase. Mm-hmm. We invite you to download the SDK, try it out, play with the latest bits. And of course,
And there's more information on surfacehub.com also, I understand.
Surfacehub.com. So you can go and try it out. And we're going to be available in the Insider Lounge and in the showcase area for the whole afternoon. You're going to be able to find us. But if you have questions, please, the mics are open. Could you please go to the mic? I'm sorry, because we have remote attendees, and we need to make sure they can listen to. Thank you very much for coming.
Hello?
Hello.
I'm just wondering, I've noticed that it seems natural to want to like erase some ink that you've drawn erroneously. What kind of capabilities does a pen have in terms of being able to undo or erase actions?
I'm glad you talked about it, because actually the pen has an eraser. You can erase with the pen by default. I didn't have to write any code for this. So it has an eraser button on the back. It's super natural. You write with the front, erase with the back. Love it. Yeah?
Okay. I have some existing applications for the PPI 55 and 80. Is this hardware device still support like having a normal PC plugged into it with the USB connection for touch input?
Yes, it does. It has the ability to hook up a secondary PC to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And does the embedded PC on here have the ability to run kind of the normal version of Windows so it doesn't have kind of the session system?
This hardware is designed to run Windows Team only.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You can plug a replacement PC if you need to go beyond the collaboration scenarios, but it's really optimized for being an appliance on the conference room. You put it there, and it's easy to manage. It's just going to be easy to keep it running. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, is the pen always enunciating its ID?
Only when you touch, you can get the pointer properties from there.
So do I have to have a listener or something, or can I?
So
I mean, if I wanted to make a pen that I touched it and then I said, okay, this is my pen and I'm going to change to pink and he's going to change his pen to blue, it has to be touching?
No, let me explain how that works. So when you touch, when you do any pointer events, so drag, move, touch, release, actually even the touch hover, so you can see as I mouse over, there's a little dot that shows up. You can put the camera so that they can see. I don't know if you're going to be able to see, but there's a little dot that shows on when you hover the screen.
Yeah.
That already gives you pointer events. Okay. Everything, every event, touching, erasing, everything, will give you pointer events. All the pointer events will have that pointer properties object, and you can query the pointer ID, wireless ID, from any pointer point object. So you can go and say, if the pen 1 taps the red color, we associate that, and next time it goes down, paint it red. You can do that. So that's what I did here. Like, I did that. The pen ID is associated with the color of the ink. So it becomes green or blue depending on the pen ID.
Do you know how many pen pointer IDs would be available concurrently?
So you can simultaneously write with up to 3 pens.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, like all touching the screen at the same time. But the pointer IDs are unique. So you can get a 4th pen, a 5th pen, 10 pens. As long as you don't write more than 3 at the same time, you can get the different IDs for each of them. And all of them will have unique IDs. Any other questions, please? I'm sorry. Can you please ask? Because remote attendees are going to want to hear your question, too.
How do you save the changes that we've just done?
So we didn't show saving ink and collecting ink and so on, but the Direct Ink talks about that. It talks about how to save and how to store. Also, there's a cool sample on Direct Ink available on GitHub, part of the ink team samples. So you should take a look at that. It's all documented. There are samples, saving and collecting ink. You can save with the color, save with the metadata. You can do all those things. Any other questions? Once again, if you are feeling shy or if you want to just try out the device, we're going to be at the Surface Hub showcase right there in the middle area over there where there's the Windows demos.
We'll be over there in like 5 minutes or so as soon as we clean up here.
And we're just going to pack up and go. But we thank you very much for your participation. And it's been great to present to you guys.
Thank you for coming.